On 88.1 WIPR, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Also glad to welcome back to the studio, as we do every Monday morning, our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Hey, Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
Good. So you have been to the Contemporary American Theater Festival, which is over in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, at Shepherd University. They've been around for 26 years, and you've gone to at least more than 20 of them, right?
So
you've been making the schlep out there. This is, as I say, in its 26th season. You get five new plays, and they're all staged in this rotating repertory, right? So I understand that this year the lineup has a very distinctive feature. What's that?
Well, Tom, as you are well aware, there has been an emphasis this season in theaters across the country in producing plays written by women. And the Contemporary American Theater Festival has always been strong in this respect. However, this year, four out of the five plays are by women. And women often create strong roles for women, and that is definitely true this summer. The most powerful role of all the plays is in Alison Gregory's play Not Medea, and it also receives the festival's best performance by an actress named Joey Parsons. Her character starts out as a late arriver at the theater. She's a theater goer, but she's as rude as can be. She chatters away at us. She takes cell phone calls. She has brought her dinner to eat during the play.
I have sat next to her.
Yeah, I'm sure. We learn that she's a mother, and she's taking the night off, and she's rather upset to discover that the play she's come to see is Medea. And then, in sort of Pirandello fashion, she winds up on stage playing Medea. And the theatergoer's story, her story, becomes so entwined with Medea's story that sometimes you can't tell which is a good thing. It's very challenging. It's a fascinating, frightening piece of meta theater. I'd love to see it again.
So this is great. I mean, there was a whole couple of festivals of just female playwrights right here in Baltimore in the last couple of years. And I know there's a big one in L.A. every year. There's a big one in Chicago. So with the preponderance of all these female playwrights, which I'm all for, are most of the roles in all these plays most of them female?
Well, no, but the central characters are mostly female. There's a play called Penmanship by Christina Anderson, and it only has one female role, but she's the pivotal character. She's an African-American woman named Ruby, and she is the only woman on a rundown ship that is heading to Liberia in 1896. It's a rather mysterious voyage. The man in charge is an African-American land surveyor. He's a very religious man. He's traveling with his son, and it's his son who has brought Ruby on board. I brought you actress Margaret Ivey as Ruby talking to one of the ship's crewmen, and you can hear the fortitude and the power in her voice.
Ignorance angers me, Cecil. And Mr. Charles and Jacob Boyd expect me to fall silent in the face of their ignorance, but I am under no one's control.
Why do you consider them ignorant?
Those men submit to a belief system designed to disable progress among our people. What good has Christian belief served to coloreds in America? The world!
That's a scene from Penmanship. It's one of the plays at the Contemporary American Theater Festival over in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. So, Judy, it's interesting. That play and the other one you described, Not Medea, seem incredibly different from each other. I mean, do the plays in this festival this summer, do they have common themes at all?
Well, actually, both of those plays are somewhat about parents and children, and that crops up in some of the other plays, too, though to a lesser degree. The theme of slavery and bondage shows up in two of the plays. I have to say that Ed Herendeen, the festival's producing director, always says he doesn't look for common themes or subjects or styles. But besides the themes I've already mentioned, two of the plays are written in response to classics, Not Medea, obviously, response to Euripides. There's another play called The Second Girl by Ronan Noon, and it's a response to a modern American classic, Eugene O'Neill's Long Day's Journey Into Night. It's kind of an upstairs-downstairs look at O'Neill's semi-autobiographical play. It focuses on the three servants in Long Day's Journey, Tyrone family's chauffeur, their Irish cook, and the cook's niece, Kathleen, the second girl, who has recently arrived from Ireland. It's a very interesting concept, but it's kind of tough to compete with one of the greatest plays in American literature.
It's a tall order.
It took on a lot. I found it sort of less far-reaching and kind of smaller than O'Neill's drama, which is really an epic. You won't be surprised to know that alcoholism crops up downstairs as well as upstairs, and I brought a clip. This is the chauffeur played by Ted Coach, and he is discussing the cook's alcohol problem with her niece, played by Catherine Wake.
She was on the ground last night, Bridget.
Outside my door.
Drunk.
She's embarrassed about it.
How did you get her in the house?
Carried her.
I don't know what you see in her when she's like that.
So that's Ted Koch and Catherine Wake in Ronan Noon's play at the Shepherdstown Festival, Contemporary American Theater Festival. That's The Second Girl. By the way, is Ronan Noon a female playwright as well?
No, that's the one male in the group.
Okay, I wonder because I didn't recognize that name as a female. And my full disclosure about my affinity for female playwrights is that my daughter is one. So, you know, we all have our crosses to bear, and that's one of mine. But but these two plays, I mean, The Second Girl and even Not Medea, I guess, Penmanship, they seem like pretty serious dramas. I mean, are there any funny ones this time?
Well, the closest this year...
For the shallow people in the audience like me?
The closest this year is a play by Susan Miller called 20th Century Blues. It focuses on four longtime female friends in their 60s, and the protagonist is a photographer, and she gets this group together once a year and takes their picture. I found that structure and that situation a little bit too pat, but there is a lot of humor. It's probably also the most commercial one of the plays.
Mm-hmm. And the Contemporary American Theater Festival has a very good track record, actually, for choosing plays that go on to be produced at other theaters. Do you think that this will happen with some of these plays that you saw this year?
Well, I hope that it'll happen with all the ones we've just discussed. There's really only one play this summer whose future looks doubtful to me. It's a play called The Wedding Gift. Very ordinary sounding title, but it's a really bizarre play. The playwright, Chisa Hutchinson, created her own language for this futuristic play. It's about an ordinary guy who suddenly finds himself the wedding gift, kind of a pet, or more accurately, a slave in a futuristic society. And he can't understand anything that's being said or anything that's going on. There's one scene that turns into kind of a game of charades where he's trying to figure these things out. Really, the whole play is kind of like that for the audience. It got a wonderful physical production at Shepherdstown, especially the costumes. But because of the language issue, it's short on depth and it's short on character development. I mean, you're just trying to keep up. Let's listen to some of that language.
Yeah, I don't understand what you're saying.
Hade.
Hade. Stay, right? You want to stay here? Okay.
Ah, presh. Win na. Wan ah. Na hade win.
No staying here.
Wan.
That's a tall order for an actor.
It's absolutely
one thing that you can learn a different language, but to have to learn, you know, syllable by syllable, a brand new language. Well, it sounds like, you know, there are some really good things worth checking out over in West Virginia. And Jay Wynn Russick, always good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
The Contemporary American Theater Festival continues through the 31st of the month, July. It's up in Shepherdstown, or I should say over in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. We'll have complete information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. That's it for us today. Stay tuned to WIPR for breaking news. We expect verdicts in the trial of Lieutenant Brian Rice very shortly. Judge Williams has said that he will issue his verdicts at 10 o'clock, and we will bring you those verdicts as soon as Judge Barry Williams announces his decision from Courthouse East in downtown Baltimore. And today at noon, Sheila Cast will have more on the verdicts on midday. Then coming up Wednesday here on Maryland Morning, we'll have more legal analysis with Edward Smith and David Jaros. We'll also have a report from the Republican Convention with Washington Post reporter Janet Johnson. And we'll visit with our nutrition diva, Monica Reinagle. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac. Have a great day, and we'll see you in a few minutes when the verdict from the trial of Lieutenant Brian Rice is announced.